to see everyone here tonight. Good to see everyone having a time of fellowship, enjoying each other's company, all the smiles. It warms my heart to see that here in my church. Good to see each and every one of you tonight. It's good to be in church tonight. I'm thankful for being able to be in church, for being able to get around God's people, get around God's word. We serve an awesome God.
Amen.
We have a God that is loving, that is just, that is holy, that is righteous, that is forgiving, and yet still loves me and wants to hear from me. I'm thankful for that. I'm so thankful for the God that we serve and for his son, Jesus Christ, who has saved my soul. But I'm thankful to be in church, and I'm looking forward to hearing God's words preached tonight. But before that, we're going to sing some songs of praise to our Savior. I'm sorry, I just made that way. So let's sing it out for his glory. But before we get started, I'm going to ask Brother Chris Mitchell, if you'd be willing to lift your voice and ask for God's blessing on tonight's service.
Heavenly Father, we come before you in the throne of grace, and we are told to ask, and you shall receive, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and you shall find. May we find what we're looking for tonight in our hearts through the Word of God. Bless the pastor and his congregation in Jesus'
name. Amen. I invite you all to please stand with me if you're able. Turn to page 401. 401, where he leads off of.
The light is shining for thee, sweetly the
shed in my life.
Yes. Amen.
If you would, turn with me to page 452. Page 452. My Savior's Love. Page 452.
For the Savior's love, that he would die in for me, that is a wretch, like I said before, a worm, yet Jesus Christ cared for me, he loved me, he died for me, and I'm thankful for that tonight. We're going to go in a little different direction this evening, sort of along the lines of what we've been studying in Jonah, but God's kind of laid it on my heart to go a different direction this evening. And I'd like you to take your Bible, if you can, look at Luke chapter 12 and verse number 32. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 32. If you could take your Bible and look at that tonight. Now, I want to preface before we go into this evening that I'm going to be looking at, this is going to be a Bible study tonight. I don't know how much preaching is going to get in there, but it's going to be a Bible study, and I'm going to give a lot of verses. So I'm going to, some places I might go a little quick. If you can't get it down and you like the verses later on, come up to me and I'll give you the verses, or just rewatch the live stream or the recording that we have on our website. But I can't do this Bible study tonight without going to scriptures. Okay? And so as a preacher and as a pastor, how I've been taught by my pastor back home, and I believe how it should be, is that if you're going to put anything across, you need to give me Bible on it, right? I don't want just one little scripture that you're pulling out of context, okay? I don't want one little portion that you're making a doctrine around because it's one verse and one book and you're building your whole faith around it. I don't want that, okay? I believe we can use the Bible, both Old and New Testament, to bring things to light that we need to follow and that we need to do. Now, I do believe in rightly dividing, so understand me when I say that, but I don't want just one verse. So I said that to go in this evening, that I'm going to give Bible tonight. This is a Bible study, a lot of turning. Again, if you don't know where it's at in the Bible, then just listen. Just listen. Don't worry about turning it to the Bible. Write the scriptures down. Go back later on and make sure that I'm telling you the truth. Okay? So if I go a little fast, don't get an attitude and think, I'm giving a warning beforehand. I'm going through Bible tonight, okay? But I think it's very important. Now, I know a man. I've known this man for a while. He lives out of state. He's got a YouTube channel. Puts out some good stuff, some really good stuff about end times and things going on. And recently he put down, now I don't know if it's true or not. I haven't seen it for myself yet. But supposedly the new quarters that they're printing for 2022, the older quarters, the face was facing towards In God We Trust. Now, I believe that's a different God, but neither here nor there. The old quarters were facing a certain way. But now the new ones are printing, the face is turned, basically it's back on God. Okay? So, he's put out some good stuff. But I went by his website the other day, and he had a live stream going on. And I saw some people commenting on it. And this one girl was commenting on it, and I saw her little picture. And I said, man, something don't look right on that thing. And it was one of those Japanese anime type looking figures. But what she said was, I thank God for Jesus Christ and something else. And I'm thinking, so I clicked on her profile. And as I went on her profile, I saw that what she had in the videos that she watches doesn't line up with biblical Christianity or Bible Christianity. And it bothered me. And one of the ones that she had, that she was following this man, and I forget what his thing was, so I clicked into him. And this man outright uses the King James Bible to say that Jesus Christ is not God. Now, he goes to the Greek or the Hebrew and the Greek for it. He also believes that we will be gods and that Jesus Christ was not virgin born. He was making me so mad I turned him off and didn't listen no more. This girl was also involved in Eastern mysticism type stuff with the things that she was watching. And it concerns me that somebody that can claim to know Jesus Christ, but I think maybe likes the wild and outside things, and yet is also involved in things that are ungodly and not right. And so this man that she was watching that had Bible, was using the Bible, making fun of Christians. And this, I've seen it with not just him, but other people that I've run across here, even in Allentown. They don't like using the name Jesus Christ. And he was using some name, and I know Yeshua and all this other stuff. And there's strange things going on. Strange things. It's a different spirit. They're saying Jesus Christ, they're saying all the right things, but it's a different spirit. It's a different gospel. Now look at the Bible, Luke chapter 12, and look at verse 32. Just as Jesus talking to his disciples there. And look what he says in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. He says, fear not, look what it says, little flock. You see that? Jesus said, fear not, little flock. Now this is the group that talking to. He hasn't gone to the cross yet. He hasn't died for sins. He's coming to his own, the Jews, and he's telling the Jewish people. But I find it very interesting that he says, fear not, little flock. Not big, huge, mega church flock. Little flock. Now, take your Bible, flip over to 2 Corinthians, and look at chapter 11, verse number 13. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. Look, the Bible says here, 2 Corinthians 11, 13, it says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, like don't be surprised that this is what Paul's saying. He says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Okay? The devil will transform himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great things if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. It goes on to say, whose end shall be according to their work. Now, Jesus Christ made a statement back in the book of Matthew. He said, they were calling him that he was doing things by Beelzebub, and the Pharisees were always getting on him. And basically, Jesus said, by their fruit, you'll know them. And that wisdom will be justified of her children. Basically, if you follow the trail long enough, you're going to see that Satan has his little red flags that he puts up, and Satan marks his things. Okay? Now, take your Bible, look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Bible says here, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. This is Paul giving a charge to Timothy, his son, in the gospel. He says to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He tells Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 2, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, you know what the word doctrine means? Basically means what you teach. Sound doctrine. Now, I'm not going to get into this tonight, sound doctrine, but the word sound doctrine together is mentioned four times in the Bible, twice in Timothy and then twice in Titus. And you'd be amazed if you do a study on sound doctrine, what he puts the emphasis on that is sound doctrine. And part of it is how you conduct yourself. So that's a whole other lesson. We're not going there tonight. But you'll see here, the Bible says that the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine. Something that will keep you settled on what really matters and what really needs to be taught. We looked at it last week. I believe it was last week. Where Paul said, it doesn't grieve me that I keep putting you in remembrance of these things because it's safe. We looked at 1 or 2 Peter where he talks about remember, remember, remember these things, remember these things. Forget that you were purged from your old sins. Paul tells Timothy, don't forget that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Okay? These things we need to remember. All right? Now take your Bible, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here as well. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 1. The Bible says here, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken where? In mind. He said here, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters asked from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. A falling away. Paul gives a charge to those there at the church at Thessalonica. He says, don't be so soon shaken in your mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, with that in mind, when he warns about a spirit, take your Bible, flip over to 1 John chapter 4. Now, I hate to tell you that we're not even to the message yet. I'm trying to set the groundwork here. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Look what the Bible says here. Remember what Paul said to the church of Thessalonica? He said, talk about a spirit. Don't be troubled. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Notice what it said, spirit of Antichrist. Not the Antichrist, a spirit of Antichrist. Your Mormons are Antichrist. They have a spirit of Antichrist. Why? Because they deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Your Jehovah Witnesses are Antichrist. They do not believe, nor do they put out, that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. They don't believe that God was manifested in the flesh. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And this is not some new thing, brethren. This goes all the way back to the 300s, 400s, 2nd and 3rd and 4th century with Origen, Eusebius. It goes back way back. This is nothing new. The Arian heresy that the early Christians, Polycarp and all early Christians, were having to deal with these heresies that were creeping into church. And we find it here with John. John's putting out to the brethren in his time in a little letter that he sent out. He's saying, listen, be careful of the spirit of Antichrist. Those that are going to say that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. My friend tonight, if Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, we're still in our sins. There's no atonement if God wasn't manifest in the flesh. Because no man can die for us. I can't die for you, you can't die for me. We need a sinless, perfect individual to die for us, and that was Jesus Christ. Whole nother sermon. Now, look at verse number 4 of John chapter 1, John chapter 1 John 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, stay in the same book here, 1 John, and look over at chapter 2, verse 15. I'm going to show you something here. We're not even in the message yet. But this thing is heavy. This thing was weighing on me the last 3 days. 2 or 3 days. Look at what the Bible says here. I'm going to give you some clues. Look, some red flags that maybe somebody's not what they seemed it to be. If they're naming the name of Jesus Christ. Because look what now, if you're a saved individual and you love the Lord Jesus Christ, especially if you're a preacher. Now, I think this, brethren, I think pastors and preachers, and even I'll throw missionaries in there, and even evangelists, to me, they need to be held to a higher standard. In some aspects, they need to be unreproachable. Like, they should be living higher than what they're expecting. They need to be above reproach in a sense that what I mean by that is they need to be living lives as examples to their flocks. All right? That's just what I believe. But look what the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Red flag number one. If the preacher loves the world and the things of the world, he's not a God. If he's all about money, wealth, prosperity, all this other nonsense, he's not reading 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh... He says here, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Look, when you give the prerequisites for a bishop, I think the first thing it says is blameless. Not sinlessly perfect in the sense he's never going to do anything wrong, but in a sense he needs to be blameless in this. Look, you cheat on your wife, you're not in the ministry no more. You commit adultery as a pastor on your wife, you need to step down. That's Bible. Right? But how many independent Baptists today that I know of personally, within a 100-mile radius of here, well, he's gone now, cheated on his wife, committed adultery with her, and we kind of slept under the rug and give a little bit of time, and now he's a pastor again. No, my friend, no. No. Mm-mm. No, you go out, you cheat on your wife, you commit adultery, you step down, my friend. You can still be in the church. You can stand out, God is what tracks. You can get forgiveness, we're to forgive and all that. You're not a pastor no more. Uh-uh. No, sir. Now, you say, why? Because we got this nonsense today that we got the good old boy system in a lot of areas, especially independent Baptists and some, to where horrendous things are happening and they sweep it under the rug and they don't want nobody to know about it. But guess what it does when it does come out? It brings a reproach against the name of Jesus Christ. And it hurts the testimony of those who are really trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this today, brethren. I believe there's preachers that are plants that are claiming to be independent Baptists and are not. I believe that. Steven Anderson's one of them. I'll call it out. He's one. All right? And it makes those that are Bible believers and striving to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to be a good testimony, and you say you're independent Baptist and automatically, well, you're one. No, we're not one of them. So, here we find, look, let's read on, verse number 17, 1 John 2, verse 17. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now look at verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, and even now are there many Antichrists. Brethren, that's back when the Apostle John was still alive. Look, the church is just starting. It's in its infancy stages. It's just going out. 20, 30, 40 years old. And John's already saying, you got Antichrist already in the world. Those that are denying the deity of Jesus Christ. Whereby we know that it is the last time. Where are we at now? If John was writing that 2,000 years ago, where is the church today if he's saying then is the last time? Look at verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But look what he says in verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One and know all things. Now look, we're going to get into the message right now. I want to lay the groundwork that there's deception out there. False prophets, false apostles. We might not have a lot up here in Pennsylvania. You go down to Charleston, South Carolina, and you got a lot of people who claim to be apostles, right? And prophets and teachers and gifts from God and visions from God and dreams from God. And I got this. No, my friend, this is my foundation right here. And if it don't line up with this, I don't care. And we're going to get to it. I don't care even if an angel appeared to you. Amen. I'm not believing it. That's Galatians chapter 1.
Right.
Okay? Now, I laid the groundwork. And we gave scriptures that were actually written to the church 2,000 years ago. Where are we at today? Now listen, back in those days, it was a little bit harder to try to deceive people in the sense of that information and knowledge and books and things were not readily accessible to the masses. Okay, if you had a book or you had any type of parchment or vellum or something that was written on, usually it was very expensive. It was said that for a Roman soldier to get one piece of vellum or parchment to write on, it cost him a month's salary. See, we take it for granted today that paper is just readily available. Back then, they didn't have it. So it was a little harder for things to spread. Could they spread? Yes. But nowadays, think how quick something can spread in an instant with our phones and our computers. Instantly. Instantly, you could affect thousands, if not millions of people instantaneously. Think of how many people were watching the Queen's funeral. And how many people would have been able to watch it 200 years ago? Think about that. Maybe a couple thousand people 200 years ago could go to London or wherever it was and see it. Now you can have the whole world watching it almost at the exact same time. Everybody in the world, I don't care where you're at, you could watch it on your phone or computer. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to see you, Lord. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness, Lord, and I ask for your help. Lord, I pray you'd help us to see these things, dear God. I pray you'd help us to take heed to these things, dear Lord, and Lord, that we would not be deceived, Lord, drawn away or forget these things that you've shown us and promised to us, dear God. So, Lord, I ask for your help tonight. Lord, please clear my mind. Please give wisdom. Please give guidance and direction. And Lord, help us to have ears to hear. And Lord, apply what we see in the scripture. So we pray these things now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now take your Bible, look at Job chapter 28, verse 12. Job 28, verse 12. This message tonight is going to be called Two Wisdoms. Two Wisdoms. The wisdom of Christ or the wisdom of Satan. Okay, two wisdoms I think you can find in the Bible. And one comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty. And the other is a wisdom that comes from Satan in the world two wisdoms, my friend, two wisdoms. Look at the Bible. Look at Job chapter number 28 and look at verse number 12. Job 28. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 12. Job 28, 12. Job says, but where shall wisdom be found? He says, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. So Job, in his intercourse and his talking with his friends as they're going back and forth with one another, Job makes a statement here in chapter 28, verse 12. He says, but where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Look here. First, notice that this wisdom that Job is referring to cannot be found, he says, in the land of the living. True wisdom can only be found in the true God, our Lord Jesus Christ. You want wisdom. You want knowledge. You want understanding. You want the truth. It comes from Jesus Christ. It comes from His Word and the Holy Spirit, whose truth bears witness to it. A threefold witness: Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Word. Bear witness to what? Truth. So if you want wisdom, hopefully you're desiring the true wisdom. The true wisdom that comes from God. Now look down, look at verse number 14. All right, we're going to continue reading here. Job 28, look at verse 14. Job goes on to say, the depths saith, it is not in me. And the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it. And the exchange of it shall not be for jewels or fine gold. Basically, you cannot buy wisdom or find wisdom with gold or precious stones. Look what the Bible says in verse number 18. No mention shall be made of coral or pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. Just a little side note, what else is also above the price of rubies? A virtuous woman. So to me, a virtuous woman whose price is far above rubies, a virtuous woman then would hopefully contain true wisdom that comes from God. That's a whole other sermon right there. Verse 19, the topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and He knoweth the place thereof. For He looketh, this is the Lord, God, He looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and He weigheth the waters by measure. When He made a decree for the rain, a way for the lightning of the thunder, look what it says in verse 27, then did He see it, and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man He said, behold, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So we got two wisdoms in the Bible. And first Job says is, where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? And then he goes on to describe that it can't be found with gold. And then he goes down here where the Lord says in verse 28, and He said unto that man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Now, someone who claims, we're going to get into this, someone who claims to be a minister of God, a preacher of God's word, hopefully they fear the Lord. Hopefully, if they claim to have wisdom, okay, if they claim to have some type of wisdom, and they have something that they're going to give that they believe is the wisdom of God, first thing that ought to be evidence in their life is that they have a fear of God, because if you don't have a fear of God, you don't have wisdom, because wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Does it make sense? Now, look what the Bible says here next, okay? Take your Bible and look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. So people will say, well, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. Well, I got wisdom, so thus I have the fear of the Lord. Well, the Bible often defines itself. The Bible will define itself. Okay? Look at Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Look what the Bible says here. Now this is wisdom talking. Okay? Look at verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice, the spirit of wisdom? Look what the Bible says in verse 13 of Proverbs chapter 8. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and a froward mouth do I hate. Who hates it? Wisdom. Wisdom hates this. This is wisdom talking in Proverbs chapter 8. Okay? She's crying out, and we're not going to get to it yet, but she makes a statement, wisdom makes a statement in verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Well, we already established in Job that the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. So a true person who has wisdom is going to hate evil. And then we get even a definition of evil, that it's pride, and that it's arrogancy, and that it's the evil way and the forward mouth. Wisdom says, I hate it. Wisdom hates these things. Now, I'm going to give you some definitions here. The word evil means having or exhibiting bad moral qualities. So again, I'll take this application as a pastor, as a saved individual. If I'm looking at somebody and I'm watching somebody and they claim to be that of a Christian and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, yet their moral character goes contrary to that, I'm shutting my ears and I'm turning away from you. Okay? Because the Bible says if you got wisdom and you got the fear of the Lord, you're going to hate evil. And one of the definitions for evil is having or exhibiting bad moral qualities. Morally corrupt. How many preachers today are stealing money from their members? All they care about is you filling their pockets. They just need fuel for their new airplane. Brethren, I'm telling you, look at some of these bank accounts of some of these preachers. Listen, if I got over $1 million in my bank account, you come do something with me. Brethren, I'm not a pastor for the money. I'm not a pastor for the money. And thank God for Gary Freeman, how he did. He didn't pass a plate. I thank God for that. You put a box in the back. Thank God for churches. You want to put money in there, you put money in there. I have no clue what you give. I have no idea. Nor do I want to know what you give. I don't want to have any idea. It's none of my business. Between you and God. Right? There's a box. You want to give, you give. If you don't, then we don't get it. You say, what do you do if you can't? We'll just trust God and figure out where we're going to go from there then. It doesn't stop the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? So I'm not about the money. I told, by God's grace, I told some brethren in this church, I said, listen, by God's grace, I am not going to come to church and ask for money. Not going to do it. I'll go out there and get a job before I do that. I'm not. Why? Because I don't want anybody saying, you're doing it just for the money. No, I'm not doing it for the money. I'm doing it because God's called me. So any preacher out there, televangelist, you send $50 and I'll send you a prayer cloth and I'll heal you, it's nonsense. He's a hireling. It's a hireling. And he's got his private jet that he can fly over the world. He's a hireling. All right? Now, pride. So this is the fear of the Lord. This is the hate evil. What is evil? It's pride. You see, pride is the quality or state of being proud. Now don't lose me on this now. Don't start drifting off on me now. This is the hate evil. Pride. Proud means this, the state or quality of being proud, inordinate self-esteem, thinking too much of yourself. We got a lot of Christians today, they think way too much of themselves. Well, I've arrived and you're down there and I'm up here, especially with preachers sometimes. The untouchables. You're not allowed on the sacred stage. Don't touch me unless I offer to shake your hand. When I'm coming through the door, you should worship me and bow down to me. God forbid, brethren. You know what the word minister means? It means a minister should minister. He should be a servant. Pride, inordinate self-esteem. The Bible, or the definition, goes on to say, an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents and beauty and wealth and in rank, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, reserved, and often in contempt of others, being haughty. You've seen those people before, like untouchable. They got their nose up in the air, and nobody is like me. I am just a supreme being that God has created in my beauty and my wealth and my... Brethren, that's pride. And the Bible says that we're to hate evil and pride. So anybody that gets lifted up with pride, probably not coming from God. Look at the next definition. Arrogance, the act of quality of taking too much upon oneself. It's that species of pride which consists in exorbitant claims of rank, dignity, estimation, or power, or which exalts the worth or importance of the person to an undue degree. Proud contempt of others, conceitedness, presumption. Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. You can't, and brethren, that's why I got a problem with these doctorate degrees. You know why? Because it starts to separate. Well, you can't really understand, and I got the knowledge, and you don't got the knowledge. And unless you get to this point, you're not going to get it because you're just the laity. And I'm the clergy. And it starts going down the Catholic road that you need a priest. Don't touch the Bible. Don't read the Bible because I'm the only one that can interpret it for you because I've got the training for it. That's nonsense, brethren. That's not Bible. I believe you can get as much out of the Bible as I can get out of the Bible if you have the Holy Spirit of God. And the early church did not act that way. Job goes on to say, God forbid that I take flattering, or not Eliphaz, it might have been Eliphaz. Is that right? Huh? Elihu? Oh, who was Job's friend at the very end? Anyways, he says, I won't take flattering titles upon myself. Okay? So, you got to be very careful with that. Brethren, I'm telling you, you start going to school and you start getting degrees, you automatically, your flesh is like, well, yeah, maybe I do know a little bit more than you. When it comes to this thing here, absolutely not. All a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and a doctorate degree means is that you were able to pass some man's course of study. That's all it means. It doesn't mean it's of God. It doesn't mean that God's called you to anything. All it means is there's a group of men or somebody that got together and they dictated and determined what this means and how to get it. That's all it means. It means you may have had the time, you might have had the money to pass some course of study, and then they awarded you something. But that doesn't mean that you've arrived with God. And so the Bible says here, arrogancy, pride, frowardness. You know what the word frowardness means? It means not willing to yield or comply with what is required. It means unyielding, ungovernable. It means refractory. It means disobedient. It means peevish. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and it lists these things here that we ought to hate as well. You know what refractory means? Because I'm not very smart, so I just looked up what refractory means, because that's what froward means. Refractory means this: sullen or perverse in opposition or disobedience, obstinate in non-compliance. You've seen it before in little kids. They get all sullen. You tell them. They get sullen. They get peevish. They get. Turn around and face me. I am facing you. Look at me. That's a sullen child. That's a child that's acting perversely. That's a child that's ungovernable, unmanageable, obstinate. I ain't. No. And the Bible says we ought to hate that. And when it is exhibited, to me, that points in the wrong direction of you saying that you know the things of God. Now, a wisdom and understanding of the true and holy God will lead someone to hate evil, sin, just as God hates evil and sin. Now, take your Bible, look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. It talks about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Why? Why should we hate evil? Because God hates evil. Right? God hates sin. And the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. Okay? We ought to fear God because God hates evil and God hates sin. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and look at verse number 1. Deuteronomy 4:1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go and possess the land which the Lord God our fathers giveth you. Now, this is to Israel. This is to a physical nation. This is to a physical people that God has physically brought out of Egypt, and God is physically bringing them into a promised land that is a physical land. But I believe we can take these things and apply it over into the spiritual side. Now look at verse number 2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Look what it says in verse 6 though. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Now again, this is not church age doctrine, I get that. But I believe we can get a principle here from the children of Israel, God's people in the Old Testament. What Moses is telling them is, if you live a life to where you cleave unto the Lord, you hate evil, you do the thing that God has commanded you to do, it is going to be a testimony into the sight of the other nations that are watching you and the God you serve. You see, Israel was to be a light to who? The nations. Israel was to set the standards and draw the other nations to the true God. Uriah came to the true God. He was a Hittite. Rahab came to the true God. Who else came to the true God? Ruth. Think about this for a moment, brethren. What God is saying here in Deuteronomy chapter 4 is, if you live right and do right and you fear me and you have a respect to my word to where you don't add to it, you don't take away from it, and you do these things that God's saying, I'm having you do as my people, as my nation, that I've chosen to be a peculiar and a different kind of people, to be an example and a light to the nations that are around you, Israel dropped the ball. But Israel did for a while there have a light and have a testimony to where Rahab got a hold of it. And not only did Rahab get a hold of it, but then Ruth got a hold of it. And both of those women are in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they're not even Jews. So you find here a wisdom and understanding that can be seen in the sight of other nations. Now, look back over at Proverbs. I'm getting somewhere. I only got one piece of paper for my notes. All right? Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse number 7. I told you it's going to be a lot of Bible tonight, but I'm trying to set something up. A godly wisdom. A godly wisdom. A wisdom that you can tell and you can use as a litmus test to, if I even said that right, for the falseness that's out there today. Brethren, look, I was that man that I watched who's claiming that we can all be gods and that Jesus Christ was not deity, he wasn't born of a virgin, and he's using King James Bible on it. When he first came up on the screen, the first video I watched on him, he had a shirt on that automatically said, yep, nope, no, you ain't got what I'm... Because he had some type of dragon on it, and it was one of those Japanese things. I said, nope, mm-mm. If you can't tell that having a dragon's wrong, then you're not reading your Bible. Who's the dragon in the Bible? Satan? Lucifer? Right? And there's no good godly context in the King James Bible of dragons. So if somebody automatically has a fascination or fixation with dragons, something's not right. That's my red flag. Because if you're in that book, you realize, that's a representation of Lucifer or Satan, because he is the great dragon, Leviathan. Does that make sense, brethren? Now look, I said this before in this church. You stay in that book. I believe as sure as I'm staying here, I'm trying to help you tonight. You stay in this book. And you stay close to God. And you pray. And you seek him every day. I don't think we'll ever know this Bible. We'll never know it. We'll know some of it, but we'll never exhaust it. Impossible. All right? But what I believe happens is, you say, well, preacher, I just don't know. My mind goes, I can't remember scriptures. But you got the Holy Spirit. Please hear me tonight. I was watching a thing on the temple one time, or not the temple, the tabernacle. And this video was a 3D video that somebody had made of the tabernacle. And it was done on a computer, and you went through the tour of the tabernacle. Now, as I'm watching this, because I was trying to do some studying on the tabernacle, and as I'm watching this video this person made, as they get into the Holy of Holies, and into that inner part there of the tabernacle, to where the table of showbread's at, to where the candle's at, and the altar for incense where it's burned before you get into the Holy of Holies with the Ark of the Covenant. As they brought the video into it, it was 3D done. It was done very nice, very nice. As they went into it, all of a sudden I'm like, something's not right. Something's not right with this. And the way they had some pictures with things, I'm thinking, this is not right. Something's not right with this thing. And so I did a little more research on who made it. And you know who made the video? The Mormons. What I'm saying is, if you walk with God, sometimes His Spirit will impress your spirit. Like, I can't tell you exactly what's wrong, but something just doesn't feel right. Something's not right here. I don't know what's going on. Something's not right. I had this happen one time, and it'd be crazy because I told my wife one time, this was back home years and years and years ago. I said, Melanie, we went to church one day, and I talked to Pastor. I said, something wasn't right. Something wasn't right in the services. Something's going on in the services. Something's going on. Something ain't right. Wrong spirit. The wrong spirit. And I talked to Pastor Dawes. We talked about it. And later to come find out, one of the young ladies that was in the church was involved in witchcraft. She was posting all kinds of stuff on Facebook, Instagram, and all that. Witch poses, flashing things that witches flash. And I think, there you go. And she ended up leaving the church not long after that. Brethren, I'm saying that God's given us His Holy Spirit. He's given us His Word. And the Bible says to try the spirits, to see if they're of God. And you say, well, how do you try them? Well, does it line up with Scripture? Does it line up with Scripture? And does their spirit bear witness with your spirit? I've had it before in foreign countries that I've gone to where somebody will be claiming that they're saved. We can't even speak the same language, but automatically we got a connection because we got kindred spirit because we're both born in the Spirit of God. And all this, it's like we've known each other forever. And I've had that before with brethren in other nations. So what I'm saying is that God will often impress you. And also, we should know our Bibles enough to know, something's not right here with this situation. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and look at verse number 7. Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Did you see that? A fool despises wisdom and instruction. Flip over to the next page in your Bibles. Mine, I got to flip the page. Look down at verse number 20. Now, we're closing out here this evening with two wisdoms. Two wisdoms in the Bible. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 1, verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the opening of the gates in a city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in her scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. That's the spirit of wisdom. And I will make known my words unto you. Because of what wisdom says. This is what wisdom says. Wisdom says, but I have called and you refuse. I have stretched out my hand and no man regard it. But ye have set it not on my counsel and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? Verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose what? The fear of the Lord. Wisdom says, I'm crying out to mankind, to try to get a hold of mankind. I'm crying out from the chief concourses, from the highest place in the cities, unto the simple. She says, I'm crying out and I'm trying to point you to the true God. I am wisdom and I'm trying to get you to the true God. I'm trying to get you to where you choose to fear the Lord. But men reject it. And you know where wisdom bears witness to? The conscience. Wisdom cries out to the conscience of man, to the soul of man, saying, God's true. There is a God that exists. There is a creator. And he's the one with whom we have to do. You see, if you don't get your sins forgiven, it's with him that you got to deal with. If your sins aren't made, if your sins aren't washed away, now I know this is the Old Testament, but wisdom crying out and trying to point men to Jesus Christ. Now, it says here that they didn't choose to fear the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my proof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. That's where we're at today. We're a prosperous nation, and we're a nation that is full of fools. We've said in our heart that there is no God. There's no fear of God before our eyes anymore as a nation. This nation used to fear God. Christians used to fear God. A right reverential fear of God. Now we're going to close with this tonight right here. And next week I'm going to pick up with the last part of this thing. But here you have wisdom. And we're not even into the scriptures yet. Of Proverbs chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 7, and Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs 7, 8, and 9 deal with two wisdoms. One is a foolish woman who's clamorous, and she's crying out just as much as wisdom's crying out. Wisdom, she's trying to get attention of the simple, and so is this foolish, clamorous woman. She's trying to get a hold of the simple as well. And this foolish, clamorous woman, her steps take hold of hell. And wisdom's crying out saying, I'm trying to get you away from that one. Two wisdoms. And one's of Satan and one's of God. And we'll get into the second part next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I know went through a lot of Bible tonight. But Lord, I pray you'd help us to take heed, Lord, to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Lord, help us, Lord. Paul gave warning to Timothy, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, those that are out there to deceive. Lord, those that are out there to draw away from the truth that's contained in your word. So Lord, help us to be wise, dear God. Help us to be sharp. Help us to have discernment. Help us to have discretion, dear God. Help us to spend more time in your word, Lord, to know and to see these things, Lord, dear God. And Lord, that we wouldn't be drawn away. Lord, that we wouldn't fall. Lord, that we wouldn't forget that we were purged from our old sins. Lord, that we wouldn't forget the deity of Jesus Christ. Lord, the important doctrines in the Bible, Lord, help us to always stay faithful. Lord, to never lose what we've been taught. So Lord, I ask for your help tonight, Lord. I thank you for the brethren that came out. Lord, I pray that we would just glorify you in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.